Welcome to Through the Wire. We got the usual cast, Derek, Mike, and Pierre. If you guys that want to listen to it on your cellular device, you can go ahead and download us on iTunes. If you got an Android, we still working on the Android stuff, but iTunes for sure. We hit like 600 to 700 downloads on episode one, and we trying to make it to the top of the charts in the sports category. So go ahead, download.
Take us up for episode two, man.
For real, for episode two. We got a lot of topics to hit up today, starting off with the NBA lottery reform. Y'all ready, boys?
Let's get it.
All right. So basically, Adam Silver, the commissioner of the NBA, is trying to desensitize tanking. He's trying to get it so teams don't just bottom out and just be bad to get the first overall pick. Basically, the NBA's proposal would flatten out those odds to give the three teams with the worst record the same percentage of earning the first overall pick. So basically, this year, we probably think who the three worst teams? The Bulls for sure. The Hawks. And this, are we talking Suns? Are we talking
Nets? Suns.
Nets. Basically, they would all have the same chances of getting the first overall pick instead of it being 25% for the worst team. But this won't come into effect until after next season. Mm-hmm. So we basically just going to talk about whether or not we think it's a good idea. Is tanking a successful option? Because honestly, I don't think it is. Name a team that tanked to get a good pick that's actually successful. The only thing I can think of is now the 76ers look okay.
Yeah, exactly. They look okay.
Like
that's why I'm kind of against it, because I feel like the draft process we have now is excellent. Like, just because you get the worst team, worst record, doesn't mean you get the like worst pick. Like, the Sixers have been trying to tank and get the number one pick, and they only got it once with Ben Simmons, so it doesn't work. And their team, like you said, is only okay.
I don't think that's a good, you know, theory or idea to implement in, because it's so hard to define what a team is doing to just tank. Are they just trying to necessarily build for the future by putting their young players in rotation and letting them get the experience? I mean, how are you going to penalize a team for not being able to succeed? It's hard to regulate, in my opinion, and come up with the right details to put that into a good theory that's going to be justified by penalizing these teams for, you know, just not being successful.
If you're not being competitive anyway, what are you playing for? So are they trying to, like, make it to where teams actually come out and perform every night so that way they don't just put their worst lineup out there and they just decide, oh, we're not going to play good? I don't think that really is going to help them in any way, so why even do it? Because they don't want to be competitive. They want to lose, so why not let them do it? If it's the team's choice if they want to tank or not. I feel like it shouldn't be something that they're, because if they're not competitive, then there's no reason for them to even go out and perform.
Is it for the money's perspective? Do they want them to play to the best of their ability?
Money. Money is always the option. And when you think about that 76er team that was terrible, when Sam Hinkie was at his best, the team where they were sending out players that probably wouldn't even make it to in the D League now, you know? those arenas were not selling tickets because they sucked. They had nothing to look forward to. Now, 76ers selling out every game this season, probably.
You hit the key point for me. Every NBA fan that is a fan of an NBA franchise deserves something to look forward to and have excitement. So I'm okay with tanking for that reason. So because, like, if my team isn't good, I'm just supposed to suffer. I'm, like, not supposed to enjoy basketball. Like, you're a Lakers fan. Y'all are Bulls fans, and I'm a Knicks fan.
All of our teams have sucked
the past.
I wouldn't say that.
Past few years,
your team hasn't sucked. Are you saying your team hasn't sucked?
Hey, we're back on road.
Y'all, right now, you're looking fine.
Yeah, but you've sucked the past years.
That's fine.
That's why I'm
okay with taking. It's not just
exactly
because of our picks.
You're helping my point.
Yeah, but you just said that y'all never sucked.
I didn't say that. I said we're looking fine. Now we're back on road.
We're talking about how you look now.
I mean, it wasn't all through draft picks, but we got something out of it.
Your promise is the draft picks. Lonzo Ball and Brandon Ingram.
Y'all haven't done anything.
But was it necessarily tanking, though?
But y'all knew that y'all was losing to get good picks.
Yeah.
Okay, exactly. So you have my point. My point is, all of our teams have been terrible.
I mean,
and the draft is something that gives us something to look forward to and have some excitement instead of just watching the Warriors and Cavs play each other in the finals every year.
So I don't think anybody's advocating for them to implement that, but what are we discussing?
That was my other thing, too. Like, made this, like, who decided, like,
This would be the owners and the GMs. Probably the GMs of the smaller market teams are probably going to say no to this, because obviously they're not getting big-name free agents, so their only hope is to take it out.
Exactly.
So they're probably going to say no. I honestly don't think this is going to be approved. I don't think two-thirds of NBA GMs, owners, or whoever's voting to say yes to this. I think it's just the NBA wanting to sell more tickets.
Exactly.
Another thing is balance. That's what makes the NBA so good today right now is the balance. Every team has like a star or two stars or two up-and-coming stars. So because of that, we can see stars being traded left and right because people have assets and things to maneuver those type of trades. And you can see the NBA changing in any offseason because of that. Paul George, Jimmy Butler, all these stars trading is one offseason because it's balanced. And that the way that our draft is, it has enough balance to keep it like that.
This is something that I think GMs like the Orlando Magic team will be like, yes, let's do it. Because they suck, but yeah, they're still trying. They're trying to be good. They just suck at drafting. And the people they do draft don't turn into anything. So this is something to be like, okay, we've sucked. We've been like the fourth worst team in the league, but we haven't been able to get the first overall pick. So let's do this and let's even our odds. We're out there trying to fight, but obviously they still suck. They got Elfrid Payton at their point guard. Tanking is not something that's an NBA thing. It's in every sport. NBA makes it more obvious. For like the Phoenix Suns, they sat Eric Bledsoe for like the last third of the season because they wanted to bottom out. Well, he was healthy.
He also tore his
They sat Brandon Knight out too.
He tore something, didn't he?
No, that was the previous season. They said he had a hip injury, but he was just sore. It was like soreness. That was like the technical DNP soreness. Because they wanted to bottom out. Give Devin Booker the ball. Let's lose some games and let's have fans actually come in because they want to see Devin Booker. Then this is to discourage that type of thing because Eric Bledsoe is healthy.
Now that I think about it, wouldn't this rule increase tanking? Because you can be the third worst team now, and they said the three worst teams, right? Right, so yeah. Now more teams would tank because now the top three teams get an all fair chance of getting the number one pick, right?
I don't think it's that because last season, the Miami Heat, you know, they started off terrible, then they went on this huge run. Mm-hmm. The last game of the season, they had teams that weren't even trying to be... Like, the last game of the season, the Brooklyn Nets, who didn't even have their first draft pick, decided to sit all of their starters. They had nothing to play for, but they sat all their starters. This is like... Basically, what this is do will stop teams from doing exactly that. Like, the last week of the season, they're like, okay, we're the fourth worst team. Let's suck even more so we get the first. You feel me? So right now, if you're the fourth worst team, you're still putting out your best lineup because you know, okay, I still got the chance for the first overall pick. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah, I do see what you're saying. But at the same time, when they want to lose so they can have the three worst team, because right now, the worst team gets the most lottery balls.
Right now, yep.
With this rule, the three worst teams will get the same amount of lottery balls. Mm-hmm. So that's what I'm saying. One more team, try to tank to be one of those top three teams.
That makes perfect sense because like, they're all going to get the same amount. They get exactly the same amount of chance. So
exactly.
Why not be in that three pool? So that way you get the equal shot.
I see what you're saying. Also, something we didn't talk about was that they'd also want to restrict teams for being in that top three draft pick 2 years in a row.
Okay.
That's the bummer right there.
So
that's
now teams got to figure out, do we want this year's prospects or next year's prospects?
I don't like that either.
Yeah, I feel like it's just way too difficult. You're putting teams in tough positions to make like moves just right away.
Exactly.
Instead, because I mean, a lot of teams, you're not going to be able to make that jump to a playoff team immediately, especially like that Bulls team. What'd you say? That Nets team? They're not going to be able to make that jump in 1 to 2 seasons. So you're putting them in a tough position to maybe even make their teams worse for the future and upcoming years when they could have been in the position to make the right moves.
And I feel like you're going to stop, like, organic championship-caliber teams. Like, James Harden, Kevin Durant, Russell Westbrook being on the same team was good drafting through the draft. So now you're encouraging more players to leave. Because, I mean, okay, if the Bulls get Michael Porter Jr.
Let's do it.
And then they can't get another top pick the next year.
I see what you're saying.
He's going to be playing, you know what I'm saying? He's going to be on a terrible team for his first rookie contract, and he's not going to want to come back to Chicago.
Right.
He's going to grow frustrated and happy because Chicago is not a free agent destination.
No, it should be, though.
It's such a great city. It's just the organization.
Yeah, and playing in Michael Jordan, like, you know what I mean?
Shadow.
Yeah.
Hey, I believe that we got a chance to sign LeBron next year.
Really?
I think so.
Even with D-Wade leaving?
I think so.
That's a good transition. Why do you think that?
Because it's like, okay, He said himself that he's chasing the 2-3 shadow.
Exactly.
What's the best way to chase somebody? Just be on the same team. Be on his team. Bring Chicago some championships, and then you'd be like, okay, maybe LeBron is better. Bulls fans probably won't say that because we grew with MJ. But around the league, you'd be like, maybe
so you're he is saying better. If LeBron came, that front office would do the right things to get him the pieces to win the championship.
Oh, no. I don't think we would actually win because the team sucks and we wouldn't have any money to get better. But I'm just saying, like, I believe that Chicago would be on his list. It was on his list in 2011 when he decided to go to Miami.
That's because they had Derrick Rose.
But yeah, I'm just saying, like, the city alone has so much to give.
I see what you're saying, but at the same time, let's look at the other side. If you don't, that comes with even more stuff. Oh, you see, he couldn't do what Jordan could do. It's already right.
Okay. Yeah, yeah.
But I feel like if you put him on that team, that front office isn't going to do anything for him.
It's still LeBron James. He's still going to put his foot in the door.
Yeah,
and he's
going to
help
the front office.
He's going to help them make decisions. I don't think there's a GM in this league that's not going to listen to LeBron James when it's talking about improving a team to maybe win a championship.
If Garpax get LeBron and they fuck that up,
it's a GG. Rest in peace, Garpax.
I don't think so. I think they're going to still be there.
What could they do to stop LeBron? LeBron's probably one of the most powerful basketball players we've seen ever.
And LeBron will make it where a lot of the times Bulls didn't have many people that are very talkative or would talk to the press. LeBron, I mean, he's not going to just throw shade on them, but he's definitely going to make it known that they're not doing the right things for this organization.
Oh, LeBron is a king of shade. You guys suck, but he'll little sub tweets. He'll definitely do
with the tweets. The Kevin Love shit was.
No, I would not be surprised if he did some Isaiah Thomas sub tweeting. If like we get to the playoffs,
it's
and
coming.
He has a bad,
it's coming.
Like
it's coming.
We coming up short. Just like little stuff like that. You know, we keep coming up short. And everybody going to be like, well, that's the dude right here that's 5'7".
You said he did that in the playoffs?
I said if we get to the playoffs and IT not performing.
He usually does that LeBron. Like,
oh, yeah, the zero dark 30. Like, yeah. He'll say,
oh, you're right.
He doesn't
do
that no more, though. He said he stopped. Yeah, last year he was on social media all the time.
No, he wasn't.
Yes,
he was
doing
the zero dark 30.
Yes, he said he stopped doing that.
Dog, I'm doing zero dark 30 myself next week. When 2K drop, it's over with.
Oh, that's
no
a
Twitter,
good idea.
No nothing. It's
But. You know what's funny about you making that statement?
What?
Is that I think he's coming to my team.
The Knicks?
Yeah, I think he's coming to the Knicks.
Bro, okay. People that say in LA, that doesn't make any sense.
Any
to
sense
me.
At
Why
all.
Would he go to out west to prevent him from making a championship?
That's why I think he's coming to New York. They got Melo. Chris Paul is a free agent.
Dog.
And Dwayne Wade is going to
get. So you're saying they're going to get the Banana Brothers together?
Yes.
They could. Like, it's
with
a legitimate possibility.
Yeah.
If they can get somebody to take on that fat ass contract that is Joakim Noah, that fat ass contract that's Courtney Lee. Dude, they wouldn't have enough money. They would have to take a little pay cut, though.
James Dolan would make it happen. Like, if LeBron came, they would amnest Joakim Noah, if no one was willing to take it. And they would do shit like that. Cut Courtney Lee, do a provision where you pay him a stretch provision. So now his four-year contract is paid over 8 years instead of the four. And they would make it happen. You sign Dwayne Wade to a one-year deal. So, you know what I'm saying? They would have to take the proper pay cuts. And you put them on short deals, which is the new wave in the NBA anyway. And you got Chris Paul, Dwayne Wade, LeBron, Melo, and Porzingis.
I feel like that looks good on paper.
Willie Herman Gomez really off the bench.
Yes. LeBron on anything is the greatest.
Yeah. I don't know. I don't like Chris Paul that much.
But is that just your bias, or are you putting that like
he's still top 5 PG in the league?
Yeah. When I was doing my research on one of our topics, the John Wall thing, Chris Paul.
Yeah. Well, I was going to. Yeah.
He averages more rebounds than John Wall. I was like, what the fuck?
Chris Paul is great.
Chris Paul is great. I'm not saying he's not.
He's going to be even better with them. I think they all going to be much better together.
I think people just. I mean, they like Chris Paul, obviously, for what he's done. But I think they always throw that. A lot of people throw that shade on him just because he hasn't, you know, gotten past the second.
I don't even feel like he gets it as much as Melo. I feel like Melo get more. He hasn't won a ring. I hear that more for Melo, and I feel like Chris Paul needs it more.
Yeah, I think if we doing that debate, I think Chris Paul deserves it more than Melo. Because Melo, in New York, he's never really had a team around him to succeed.
Never.
And then with the Clippers, they had superstar caliber teams.
Multiple times.
But injuries hit in the playoffs. It's a lot of factors. I'm a Chris Paul fan, so I'm not going
to
talk about
that. Melo made it to the conference finals.
And it took Melo damn near 11 to 12 seasons to miss the playoffs. He went on like a 10, 11 year run before he ever missed
Melo's
the playoffs.
Melo's amazing. I don't get the washed idea of Melo. Melo is amazing still.
Exactly.
He may not be, if I was building a team, I wouldn't want him being my number one option. But a number two behind like LeBron, it's a GG. He'll still give you 20 points per game, 22, 23 points per game. It's just,
can you tell me how the Golden State Warriors would defend Chris Paul, Dwayne Wade, LeBron James, Melo as a stretch four, Porzingis as a stretch five, and Porzingis can protect the rim?
What do you mean? They play really good defense. What do you mean?
I know, but how can they play really good defense against a team that all five
can
guys
they guard
can shoot?
Them? Can they guard the Warriors?
But think about it too. I mean, this is all hypothetical.
Nobody can guard the Warriors.
But I mean, if you look at the Warriors play defense, they almost switch everything.
Yeah.
They almost switch everything.
Because everybody on their team can
exactly.
guard everything.
Yeah. So what do you mean, how would they guard it? They can guard
everything. If you're switching everything, you're going to get Steph Curry on LeBron James.
I mean, but you also
have... that happens. That has happened before.
Yeah, he's got punished for it.
Okay. That's not really going to determine a whole game.
Yeah.
You know why? You know why? Because it's with the Cavaliers. I'm saying you do that against that Knicks team that I just put out there. It's a different story.
Are they
you can switch. You can switch everything. You have fucking Tristan Thompson on the perimeter trying to do a dribble handoff. He's no threat. But when that turns into Porzingis, who can hit jump shots... And now it's Melo, who can hit jump shots. Chris Paul can hit jump shots. LeBron can attack, hit jump shots. Dwayne Wade, fadeaway mid-range master, can hit. Like, I don't know. I'm not saying we would sweep them or win. I'm just saying. I would like to see that better than what I'm seeing in Cleveland.
Again, this is all hypothetical.
It's super hypothetical.
It's offseason.
Speaking of that, what team do you think is going to be the first team to turn it around? That actually looks garbage. What team you going to think is going to be the first team to just turn it around and, I mean, at least get into the playoffs and make a little...
Out of the garbage teams?
Yeah. Or at least not a team that you would think,
I was thinking more like the Bucks. I felt like they were
they're already on track.
Playoffs.
No, but I feel like they were going to be way better in the East this year. I feel like they were going to be top three.
He's saying of the bottom feeders.
Yeah, like a Nets team. What team do you think is going to be the
first? Oh, that's tough. Because every team that's at the bottom is so far away from being good. Like, exactly. The bottom is like way beneath. The Bulls, the Hawks, the Knicks, the Suns.
So you say who could be a surprise team?
I guess so. I mean... Yeah, I mean, I guess if you're looking at it that way, it would just probably be a team with the most young talent. So.
I really think the Nets could win some games this year. Definitely. I don't think they're as bad as advertised.
I mean,
can we put Philly in the conversation?
Philly, yeah. I mean,
because I feel like Philly was—they had a good chance of making the playoffs this year.
I do too, but it's just the injury.
Yeah, they got to be healthy, bro. I don't think we're gonna get a healthy 76er team, man. I just don't see it.
Why? Because of Joel Embiid? Is that what you're baking on?
They haven't had for how long?
They need Joel Embiid to be successful.
Yeah, they do.
They need him.
He's proven.
You know what's funny?
He got game.
Is that this is the end of his rookie year contract.
Right.
So if...
Is he worth the max contract? Let's get into that. Because he has shown that he can be good, but injuries.
If y'all are the GM in the Sixers, and he plays 56 games this year, what are you doing?
I'm not giving him a max deal.
I'm slapping him with the max. It's not even just basketball related. The fans are there with their Trust the Process shirts. You will make that money back. You're going to make that money back. He's selling out arenas because he is the process. You know, so it's not always about basketball. If I'm a GM, I'm like, okay, we'll pay this dude. Maybe we can negotiate where he's maybe not getting the extreme match. We can manipulate him saying, if you take this, we can bring this guy into it. You feel me? So we don't have to give him the max, but... I would throw him that money. You say he played 56 games this year?
If he played 56.
That's an upgrade from 31 last year.
Yeah,
so.
But is that like he's hurt or is he like he's just sitting out because, you know,
If you play 56 games, you're hurt.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah.
You should never sit out 30 games with precautions.
I mean, the way they going, I mean, they obviously want him to play as many games, but if he's saying, his leg, his foot or his knee, if he's saying it's sore, you might not sit him out.
That's understandable, but I get what they was doing last year, you know what I mean, the excitement of fans, but if I have to play you, then sit you, then play you, then sit you, I'm just going to sit you. I'm just going to sit
you.
They
do have Okafor.
He's garbage. He's bad. He's bad.
Yo, I feel like he would have been good in the old, like the older.
I was doing my research for John Wall late last night. Him and John Wall have the same amount of blocks.
He's bad. He's bad, man. and they picked him over Porzingis. Nobody talk about that. They picked him over Porzingis. That's a terrible draft.
Wait, I was thinking
Okafor and Porzingis were in the same draft.
Yeah, he went three, then Porzingis went four.
I was thinking if the Lakers would have took Porzingis the other day. I'm like,
at number two, right? They picked D'Angelo Russell, who they traded away just 2 years later.
I was just thinking about all the players we could have had besides Porzingis.
But it's also hypothetical. I mean, you can't really tell the future.
I was listening to the Wolves podcast.
But 7'3". They was calling him a 7'3" guard at first. But
people were afraid because of the Bargnani stuff, you know.
Yeah.
But I was listening to the Woj podcast. We all know who Woj is. And they were talking about Porzingis, and he worked out with the Lakers, and they said they ran him to death. Like he thought he almost passed out. He was going to throw up. And then they brought in Kirk Rambis, who's like one of the most aggressive players in NBA history, to like body him in the paint. And I guess they didn't like what they saw, so they picked up D'Angelo Russell instead. It was a bad pick.
Yeah.
But I won't even lie, as a Knicks fan, I was upset when we drafted Porzingis.
Oh, most people were. Dude was crying at the draft. Little dude.
The little guy,
and then a year later, he had the Porzingis jersey
at the draft. Yeah.
Who did you want in the draft?
I don't even want to say. I mean, I would have loved D'Angelo Russell if he would have failed. But when they picked Porzingis, I was like, please get Emmanuel Mudiay. Please get Emmanuel Mudiay.
Oh, my God.
What do you expect from Porzingis? I know he's playing very well, but is there anything you'd expect for him to be at?
Yeah, I want to see him rebound more. I want to see him foul less. He gets in early foul trouble a lot.
There's games where he disappears, man.
He does, but I felt like that was because of the triangle. I put a lot of that blame on the triangle.
Yeah,
he was on my fantasy team. Some games he would go nuts, and other games he would.
And he also was battling an Achilles injury, too. Which isn't talked about enough for me. But I want to see him take that leap to be a 20-point scorer a night, because he hasn't become that yet. He's kind of around the 18-19 range. And I want to see him get more double-doubles. He doesn't get enough double-doubles for me at his size. But I'm impressed with his blocking. And he shoots the ball really, really good. Mm-hmm. Better than I expected. I knew he could shoot, but he shoots it super good. But I want to see that 20. Man, if I can get 23 points out of him with 9 rebounds and like 1.5 blocks, Melo got to turn them keys over.
That's definitely an all-star like stat line, especially for that Eastern.
Dude, yeah. that draft class was garbage. I'm looking at this. Other than Karl-Anthony Towns and Porzingis.
Name the teams, and let me see if I can get some of those players. Who picked after the Knicks?
The Magic.
And they took Aaron Gordon?
No. They took Super Mario Hezonja.
And I was high on him. Show. They called him the
J.R. Smith.
Yeah, the foreign G's. J.R. Smith. Who picked out of them? The Nuggets with Moutier?
The Kings picked Willie Trill, Cauley Stein, and then the Nuggets with Moutier.
Wow.
At 11, Miles Turner, that's a great
pick. And then Devin Booker. Is there anybody like that went further, like say the 20s, 30s, that actually is playing well? Or like, at least in the second round.
I bet it is.
It's got to be.
Rondae Hollis Jefferson, who's Larry Nance Jr. was picked 27. That's pretty good. Second round, nobody in these second round picks. Actually, Josh Richardson actually made a difference on the Heat. Yeah. Norman Powell, that's a pretty good pickup.
UCLA.
That's it, though. I was high on JP
North Carolina guy
I don't know how to pronounce his name.
Tepokro.
But he was dunking niggas.
Yeah.
And I was like, damn, I want him on my team.
Terrible perimeter shooter.
Yeah, he was bad.
Where did he go to? Was it
North Carolina?
North Carolina.
No, I'm talking about what team?
76ers.
Yeah, is he that shooting guard kind of guy?
Yeah. Yeah. But he didn't really turn it.
That is a terrible fucking draft class.
Yeah.
Who went number one? Carl?
Carl. Yeah. Y'all want to move on to topic number two?
What is it?
Which is John Wall. John Wall said earlier this week that he is the best two-way point guard in the NBA.
If y'all saw episode number one, that was my MVP pick, and I stand on that.
100%.
So I stand on this, too.
Best two-way point guard. Okay, let's just... You say yes. You agree with this. Okay, Mike. Yes or no? Yes or no? Is he not? And if he's not, tell me who you think is. Best two-way PG in the league.
I gotta think who else in the league. I mean, yes. I'm going to take that. I'm going to say yes.
Derek.
Easily.
Oh. I was expecting somebody to come out like, Russell Westbrook.
I was thinking that, but he's like...
defensively garbage.
Who?
Russell Westbrook. He has the capabilities, but he doesn't show it because he's putting so much...
Oh, trust me. I got the numbers.
He's putting so much on the offensive end.
I got the numbers, and I got the Chris Paul numbers. I just knew I thought you were going to say Chris Paul, and I thought one of y'all was going to say Russell Westbrook.
So that's the only guy that's even remotely close to me is Chris Paul. And Chris Paul, he's not a defender that's going to clamp up the dude he's guarding, But he's like one of those great team defenders. Mm-hmm. And I guess
I'll never forget the defensive performance he did on KD.
I thought you were going to say the Utah Jazz thing.
Oh, no. They exposed him. But the Kevin Durant thing was... That was impressive.
I don't even know what you're talking about.
I think it was the playoffs, right? Yeah, they put him on Kevin Durant
in the fourth quarter, and they won the game.
Yeah, they were posting up Kevin Durant. Yeah, Chris Paul. Chris Paul was
he could not score.
I don't remember.
Yeah, go back and watch that.
I'm gonna have to look at that one.
But like when I compared the defensive field goal percentage of all three players, John Wall blows them away. Blows them away.
I think it's not even close. All around, just better player than most of those guards in the league.
Yeah, he's number three in my eyes.
Yes, he's number three. I don't know. When people put Kyrie above John Wall,
they're stupid.
It blows my mind.
That's stupidity.
Kyrie is, he's a good scorer, but he's not a John Wall. He can't affect the game like John Wall.
But think about it. He's never been in that leadership role. Right? When he was a rookie, okay. First couple of years, but LeBron took over. That's why I said him on the Celtics team, we're going to definitely see him being the leader and to see how he's going to take that overcome. I don't really think he's going to make his teammates better. We haven't really seen that from him. Like I said, he's been that scoring person that makes your team that I'm going to draw two defenders and kick it out. We never seen him like be that person that's going to get his teammate going offensively and on his teammate's spots. I don't know if he's that player.
That's why I think the Boston Celtics was the best team for him to go to because of that reason. I think Brad Stevens will bring that out of him.
Only thing I can say about Kyrie having over John Wall is the big balls factor. He make those big shots.
Fourth quarter.
And John Wall would take those big shots too, though.
But he doesn't make them.
He disappeared. Game seven against the Celtics. He was like 0-for-12.
Game one, they was up 20-6 in the first quarter. They let the Celtics come back and win that game.
He had that game winner to send them into game.
Who would you rather have your game winning shot, Kyrie Irving or John Wall? I think it's easily Kyrie Irving.
Easily. But
other than that, John Wall hasn't beat on every single aspect of basketball.
Mm-hmm. He has that on most guards.
Yeah.
I feel like he's way more efficient than Russell Westbrook, too. Like, efficiency-wise, he's way better than Russell.
Yeah. Yeah, but Russell did have to take. He did take a lot of shots.
I feel like if John Wall wanted to do what Russell Westbrook did, he could.
Yeah, I'm talking like turnovers, missed shots, like all that. Overall-wise, he's way more efficient.
This is going to be the year that John Wall, he's going to step up defensively. Obviously, he made the statement. But even before he made the statement, Kobe said, like, his challenge to John Wall was make first-team all-defense.
He said that because he should have made it this year.
Yeah, he should have made it. He got one all-NBA defensive team that was second team in 2015, from what I'm reading here. So it's been a couple years since he's been on this shit defensively. Even though we know he's still, you know, the man, he tied with Draymond Green for steals per game this season. We know he can do it. I believe this. I thought
he did that coming off two knee surgeries.
The dude is a monster.
Playing at 260 pounds. So now he just had this offseason with no surgery, and he got in shape.
Wait, you said 260?
He said he was 260 pounds.
John Wall?
He has
his injury?
He has an offseason.
God damn.
Offseason like show with Ball Is Life called the offseason or No Days Off, and he talks about it.
Wait, when was he 20? Like, was he playing
this
NBA?
Year? This year, this past season, he was 260.
He gonna lose. He gonna be back to like 180 to 190 by the season.
He's like, you know, he's like he stays around 215.
215.
Yeah,
he's incredibly lean.
He's 6'4". Yeah,
he's incredibly lean. Yeah, 215.
Yeah,
the way he moves, he looks like he's about 180 to 190.
Let me see exactly what
it doesn't seem like he was ever 260.
I take that back because Stephen Curry's build, he's around 185. So yeah, I can definitely see John Wall being around 2 something.
He 210. He's listed as 210.
Okay,
but yeah, he's a monster. Next one. Bleacher Report tweeted out something that says, talk about defense. Perimeter, an arrow pointing to Kawhi Leonard, and paint pointing to Draymond Green. And then Rudy Gobert quoted this tweet saying, laugh my ass off. So, who is the best paint defending person in the league? Is it Draymond? Is it Draymond really?
Is Draymond paint defending?
Paint defending. Draymond may be the best overall defender because he can guard everything. Mm-mm. But I would much rather have Rudy Gobert protecting down my paint easily.
Can you restate the question? Is Draymond what?
Is Draymond Green a better paint protector?
Fuck no.
Right, exactly. It makes no sense. Him over Rudy Gobert? It's not even
not remotely close. He's a better defender.
Where do we get paint protector? I thought we were just talking about defense.
That's what we can do that, but the overall tweet said that paint and they want Draymond Green protecting it instead of Rudy Gobert.
Oh, okay.
First of all, Draymond Green is probably like third or fourth best defender in the league.
Behind who?
Kawhi Leonard.
Okay.
I still will take Tony Allen. I still will.
Only thing this that
he's been hurt. So how could you say no?
I would just say that he can't guard a four like Draymond can. He can't guard a five. Draymond can guard every position. That's why I would take
Draymond. I don't know if Draymond can guard every position.
Yes,
I am certain of it.
To be honest, I think he can. And just
you think he can stay?
It's not even that.
Can he guard Russell Westbrook?
Yes,
he has
on a switch. Hell yeah, he can stay in front of Russell Westbrook on a switch. Yes.
Not the whole game.
Yeah, whole game Russell will fuck him up. But we talk about on the switch.
Kawhi easily. Leonard. Oh yeah, definitely. Is the best defender.
Yes, definitely.
We can agree on that. Okay. But I would say Draymond.
Would you just say perimeter all around defender? He's gonna guard it. What are you talking about, Kawhi Leonard?
Draymond is the most versatile defender, but just because you're versatile don't make you the best. Because Kawhi Leonard locks up. He snatches. I seen him snatch the ball out of Curry and Durant hand. Like, give me that shit.
Yes. And he does it effortlessly.
Yeah.
And it doesn't. He doesn't even change his facial expression when he does it.
He does it effortlessly.
I mean, like, no. The reason I love Draymond, I think he's one. To me, I don't know. I think he's one of the best power forwards in the league.
Yeah, and no doubt.
I just like his versatility. And one thing I see about it, whenever I see Golden State play, if you ever look at the replays they have of him playing defense, he's playing excellent defense. And most of the time, their shot is about 100% contested. Yeah. And I don't even think it's going in anymore. I mean, I'm very surprised when people make those shots over him. It's just his anticipation, his timing, it's just ridiculous.
I've seen him switched out onto C.J. McCollum and clamp him up, Damian Lillard, when they're playing Portland. He switches out to guards all the time, and he does a pretty good job of guards.
Would you say his ability to do that, do you not him want involved in that pick and roll just because he has that ability to switch? I mean,
you would rather put Zaza in that situation than Draymond.
Of course, yeah.
So,
yeah.
But when they go to that small ball lineup, then
there's the thing about that, though, the thing about those pick and roll situations, when you leave Draymond out on the as a help defense, he's arguably the best help defender in the league. Yeah. So either way, arguably, he's going to be involved.
Yes.
He's going to be involved in that play. So he's just a bug, a pest. And I know you guys are Bulls fans. Can you think of somebody like that?
Dennis Rodman,
the word.
That's what I was about to say. The most impressive thing about Draymond is that he's 6'6".
Yeah, the best defense. Somebody that you don't want to go against, but you love to have him on your team.
That was 2014 Joakim Noah also.
Fuck no.
No.
What? No.
I'm not gonna hate up Joakim Noah, but he was not a Draymond. Yeah, I see.
You literally just said someone you would not want to go against.
He's speaking defensively. You're speaking as an all-around player. Yeah.
What? I mean, yeah,
Joakim Noah is not.
You did not want to go against him. Defensive player of the year, Joakim Noah. You wanted to go against him.
MVP voting. No, Joakim Noah, don't sleep, bro. Joakim was the man.
You wanted to go against him.
I'm not saying that. I'm saying compared to
y'all watching. You see what shirt he wearing? That's why he doing all this shit.
Yeah,
no,
you wearing the man's shirt.
That, it just kind of happened that way. That was not planned. But when he said that,
and Joakim Noah too.
But for real though, like nobody wanted to play the Bulls because Joakim Noah was such a pest, and. She was still a man.
Yeah, you gotta love those type of
things. You wish.
He was getting triple
double. I wish. He on the Knicks now. I wish he was anything like that. Shit. He was at the top of the key making dimes. I like that joke.
I knew in the moment that was a terrible contract, though. He was coming off an injury. Why would they give him that?
I'm not signing any 30-year-old players to any 4-year thing.
Yeah, it was a bad idea.
Even LeBron?
LeBron's the exception because LeBron is the greatest.
LeBron is the exception and all stars that are 30 years old. But like Joakim Noah was past his all star kind of phase. Yeah,
obviously.
So
we're going to move on to why do people hate Steph Curry?
All right, let me say, to be honest, I was that guy. I mean, I love Steph Curry, I still do. But I was that guy, like, when he was with Monte Ellis, I seen him, he was struggling with his ankle injuries. And I seen him starting to come up. I seen him playing with Klay Thompson when Klay Thompson was rookie. And I really liked how he's playing just because of his ability. Like, it was so many people counting against him. They weren't even planning on re-signing him. I don't remember what exactly time that was, but I remember that game that he started changing. Everybody kind of looked at him different when he had that 50-point game against the Knicks. And that's when I seen his career just start evolving from that. But to get to the point, I think you just don't like him because I mean, he takes a lot of teams out, to be honest. There's been times where he's taken out these top teams. Hey, remember that OKC game when he hit, like, that basically half-court shot?
Yeah, for game.
Yeah. People just don't like him because he hits that. I mean, same reason why people don't like LeBron sometimes, because he takes some teams out. It's kind of hard. I think they just call him just because he started that new evolution of, like, everybody wants to be able to shoot from deep now. Whoa. They calling him soft. They're calling him just... You know, it's just so hard. It's so many factors that play into why people don't like him. But I think it's just necessarily because he's good. I don't know. It's very hard to describe.
I'm going to give you credit because your name on Xbox was Lil Steph Curry before the MVP season.
Okay. I was one of those people that didn't like Steph Curry for a minute. And this is why. It's not that I didn't like him. It's the fact that all those bandwagon fans that came along, I hated them so much. It made me not like him because I was a fan of Steph Curry when he was where?
He was in Davidson.
Before even.
But what was the reason? Was it because he was light skinned? that plays a part. That has because all your favorite players is light skinned.
Then you say like
Kobe Bryant's light skinned.
No, he don't count. Zach LaVine. Didn't you used to be a fan of Kerry Kittles?
No, I was never a fan of Kerry Kittles. My pops always say Doug Christie.
Right.
It's just coincidentally my favorite players is Lonzo Ball, Ben Simmons,
Lonzo Ball, Zach LaVine.
But I do like Paul George and Porzingis. Kobe Bryant and Penny are my favorites, but. It was the bandwagon fans. I mean, the older people don't like him because they say he's ruining the NBA without his shooting. Mm-hmm. And I mean, at first I didn't get that. I'm like, that's just the older people talking. But when you do go to like the Y or you go places and play pickup basketball, it does become frustrating because people automatically run to the 3-point line. It's like, dog, come on, man. You cannot shoot fuck. Like, I literally play pickup basketball with people who will miss 7 threes in a row. They won't make a three all day, and they will continually run to that 3-point line, and that becomes that's the Steph effect.
That's me.
Also, yeah, you was
He made the three popular again. Just popular in general. Now.
And also, he's not like a freak athlete. Michael Jordan's a freak athlete. LeBron James is 6'8", 250. Steph Curry looks like a dude that you just walk past every day, and he will get on that court and fuck you up. And he's doing it against those freak athletes. So I think people are probably just, you know, they're not accustomed to seeing someone dominate that, like a guy so normal is dominating the game of basketball.
Yeah, they're used to 3-point shooters as being people that just spot up.
Right.
And yeah.
I feel like he's so much not used more. To him.
I like Steph Curry, but the thing that I don't like is that I feel like he just gets so much damn credit. Like he should not have been the first unanimous MVP.
Yeah, when you hear stuff like that, you're like, so y'all telling me them Jordan years wasn't unanimous? You feel me? Like,
so out of all the players in the league that have played, Steph Curry is the first unanimous.
It's crazy.
I like Steph Curry. I love his game, but that type of stuff does make me be like, come on, man, y'all dick riding this dude too hard.
So he did average 37-6.
So is it necessary people just like Steph Curry?
What about that year Kobe averaged 36 points and didn't win the MVP?
Would it go to Steve Nash?
It went to Steve Nash.
Come on, man. A guy that never touched the NBA Finals floor won two MVPs back to back.
So you're saying Steve Nash wasn't valuable?
That's not what I said. Not the most valuable.
Okay, that gets to the debate. What does MVP really stand for?
At first, I thought it just meant like how much you contribute to your team's success and how well that success leads them.
That's what I think it should be. Exactly. Yeah. Yes. Exactly. That's why I don't think that Russell Westbrook probably shouldn't have won MVP.
I don't think he should have either.
But then I was more of a James Harden guy.
I was James Harden, Kawhi. Those were the two.
But if you take Russell Westbrook off of that team.
Right, that's the other aspect of most valuable player. Like, he is the team.
He is that team.
So it's just like some years it seems like that, and some years it seems like what I think. Like, okay, he was the best player on the best team in the league, so give him MVPs.
But
it differentiates every year.
What I don't understand is why can't people come up with a common ground. Common sense, you can make a common ground. You know Steve Nash wasn't the most valuable player on that team.
The second way I look at it, though, is like, I think it may be similar, but so you contribute to your team's success, but on the other hand, is that the guy that you want on your team? No matter who you are, he's going to make your team, you know, make that leap from almost a greatest team in the league. You know what I'm saying?
I think they don't do that because they will go to LeBron James every year if we talk about
LeBron could have won MVP every year if it's
correct. Of course. Exactly.
No doubt.
Because when he's not playing, his team is awful.
For real.
Like, they go on losing streaks when they rest.
There's no way in hell that he hasn't been a unanimous MVP. It's just no way. He was one vote off one year, and that writer gave a first place vote to Carmelo Anthony. Shit like that makes me upset when Steph Curry gets it, because it's like, this is no way in hell Steph Curry should have been the first unanimous MVP. And I it's no hate, but it's just the truth.
Why did Carmelo receive an MVP vote?
So that LeBron wouldn't be the unanimous MVP.
Some hating shit. Steph Curry's the closest thing we have to LeBron as far as like off the court, perfect image. Mm-hmm. On the court, a monster. Family man. Mm-hmm. like and for some reason he is hate. It makes no sense to me. I like Steph Curry. I'm not a Steph Curry fan, but you have to respect what he does on the court, off the court, all that stuff. But yet, people still got the 3-1 lead jokes. Even to this day, even though last year they damn near swept their way to a championship.
Those are 90% LeBron fans too, and LeBron
those
fan
are kids.
Groupies.
Those are kids too. And followers.
But yeah, for anybody, because like people that watch the podcast, I know it's going to probably happen this year. I love Steph Curry. I've been a Steph Curry fan since he was at Davidson, and Seth Curry was at Liberty? Yep. Yeah, before he even went to Duke, he was at Liberty. Been fans of them since then. So when I say anything bad about Steph Curry or knock him, it's not that I don't like him. It's just the bandwagon of
Steph
fans.
Curry effect?
It just gets annoying. You know what I'm saying? It's like all these Warrior fans. I was watching the Warriors and liking the Warriors when they had Baron Davis, Al Harrington, Matt Barnes, Jason Richardson.
You remember when Darrell Wright led the
NBA 3-point The Warriors fans now today, they don't know shit like that. That Darrell Wright was there once upon a time, their second best player.
He led them, didn't he? He led the 3-point in NBA
in the league, yeah, for a year. Yeah.
He was in the 3-point contest and everything.
This is like, but on the opposite effect of that, Steph Curry fans are terrible. Steph Curry fans, Kobe fans are impossible to talk to.
I'm a Kobe fan. What do you
but
mean?
Kobe you got stan, to say? Kobe stands. That's different. Y'all are Kobe fans, but y'all don't think that Kobe's the best player of all time. At least I don't think y'all do. Mm-hmm. Exactly. But people that think that Kobe's the best of all time.
Well, no I don't like people like say, that in general. Just because you're my favorite player don't mean you can do no wrong.
Right. It's the same thing with LeBron fans.
Oh, my God.
Kobe fans and Steph Curry fans are the worst fans to talk to.
LeBron, I think it's LeBron, because LeBron can do well. LeBron and Steph is a tie. That man, LeBron James, can do no wrong. The same people who was talking shit about IT when the Cavs had to play,
they all on this
now. They fans of him because he's with LeBron. It's just crazy to me. Just 4 months ago, he was he's not all that. LeBron gonna shut that shit down. Now it's man, we got IT. It's like, bro, like come on, man, please. Please cut it out.
At his press conference, IT, you know, I watched the press conference. And the reason I watched the press conference, because I want to know his hip injury. Like, we don't know if he's going to be. We know he's not ready for the first game of the season.
Right.
But we don't know. At the worst, he's not back until February, which is the All-Star break. But they told everybody they were not talking about the hip injury. So what the hell else do y'all want to talk? You feel me? Like, I understand you're introducing him to the fans, but the fans want to know, is he ready to play? They want to win a championship.
I'm a big press conference watcher. I watch all of them. I watched Jimmy Butler, Paul George, but I did not watch that one. I had no interest.
It was boring. There was nothing. They didn't give
I
us what
I
kind of
knew
wanted.
They weren't going to talk about the hip injury. They're going to circle around that as much.
I feel like if they did discuss it, and it was like a negative whereabouts
like
about
bad
it.
Trade, bad
yeah,
trade,
yeah. Exactly. It was just going to make them look bad about it.
Do the Cavs trade that pick that they got to get a guy that's going to help them win now, or do they save it and draft somebody with that Brooklyn pick they got?
I feel like they trade that pick and get them a better center.
The people that are on the trade block, which is just people are throwing out.
Mm-hmm. Why don't they go ahead and get Boogie?
That's DeMarcus Cousins is on the list. Mm-hmm. Marcus Gasol is on that list.
I'm so tired of fucking seeing DeMarcus Cousins and Cavs.
Hey, I think it's two ways you look at it. One way is that you want to win now.
Right.
Because LeBron James may be leaving, but you also got to think, if LeBron James leave, we might need that pick for the future.
So this is how you determine that. Is the player we getting that good that he's going to change our results against the Warriors? Boogie Cousins? No.
Basketball season is finally back, and you know what that means. It's time to put your basketball knowledge to the test with one-day fantasy basketball at DraftKings. DraftKings is giving away over $400 million in prizes this season. That's more than 10 times what Los Angeles is paying the king himself. No matter what your skill level is, there's a contest waiting for you at DraftKings. Draft your team is simple. Just select 8 players and stay under the $50,000 salary cap. Earn points when your players score, assist, block, rebound, and more. The best part is, you get to draft a new team every day without any commitment. There's no better way to turn your love of basketball into cash.
Download the app or head over to DraftKings.com now and use my code BACKBOARD to support the show and play free with your first deposit. And remember, there'll be $400 million in total prizes up for grabs throughout the season. That's code BACKBOARD to play for free with your first deposit only at DraftKings. Minimum $5 deposit. Eligible restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com for details.
Yeah, if you add Boogie to that team, that's still not beating the Cavs. The Warriors.
Isn't Isaiah Thomas almost on his about to be in free agency?
Yeah, this is last year. So after this, they can lose LeBron and IT.
Yeah.
I'm not putting all my eggs in that bag.
Exactly. I would not trade that pick. Unless we can say, before we make this trade for DeMarcus Cousins, LeBron got to tell me to my face, I'm re-signing. Actually, he got to put his name to that.
Because that's the only way you're going to beat them if you bring another piece like that into it. That takes, come on, man. There's no way.
And after this year, we're probably going to see the rebuilding Cavs again because I just don't see
LeBron. And it won't be that bad for the fans because you'll hop right into the mix.
Right, whoever they get.
Porter, Marvin Bagley.
It's just, it's so much.
It's a tough decision, though.
Y'all want to move on to the prelude, 2K?
Oh, my God.
I'll just say this right now. You can't hype a prelude up for about a month and give us, you know, just a very, very general of what we're going to get. I mean,
they literally gave us the least that they could. I mean, they gave us fucking three hairstyles.
Oh, yeah.
Literally three hairstyles. I'm flipping through like, bro, it's some people. Like, I got braids right now in my little. But I was able to, like, give him a little fade. But, like, I was thinking, like, it's somebody out there that's making this my player, and he don't have none of these hairstyles.
He don't fit into this shit at all.
Like, none of these hairstyles fit him.
Other than it being super small and super minimalistic, do y'all think the gameplay was fine?
To be honest, I didn't really like how it looked. I mean, I thought 2K17 looked way better. Mm-hmm. I thought, what I think they're going to do is, I think they really are trying to put the perspective of the pro-am aspect, the reality of basketball into the game. And it's just, it's stuff that you can't always just put into a game and make it realistic.
I thought this was going to be the year that they let us play online in a prelude. Because Live did it 2 years in a row. And this year, Live did it big. They were flattening out YouTubers. They had huge events. So I thought 2K was coming out like, okay, Live actually doing something. Let's do something better. We're going to give them online. But here we are playing three games with some random people.
So I'm not crazy. That's exactly what I thought. I thought we was going to be in the neighborhood with other people online.
Exactly.
And while this whole time, while we wait for this next week, I thought we was just going to be playing.
Cooler.
But
they didn't even give us the option to upgrade our dudes, man. That's the worst thing.
That's what killed me. You cannot touch the attribute upgrades.
And we still don't know what builds are good because we can't look at the maxes and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
For people that like...
Well, you know, you can look at the maxes when
but
you
But we don't know the exact number, though.
No, you don't know.
That's important.
But I think what they did and what kind of messed it up is they gave... I mean, in some way, they helped us out. They gave us so many leaks, so many, screenshots of the gameplay. It just kind of leaves us hanging. So we can see what it is. We can see what to expect. But I feel like we're just painting images right now. We don't know how are we gonna shape our player, you know what I'm saying? So we can see how many badges they get.
Mm-hmm.
We can see what level they'll be, but we don't know what badges. So it might be different. I mean, I guess they're just going to keep telling us through Twitter or something about how the game's going
to
play. But
I'm a very detailed type of guy, too. So when we talk about small shit, like...
I got some small
the
shit.
The fact that, like, this is the third or fourth year that y'all keep... Like, y'all are that fucking hungry for VC and greedy with the VC 2K that y'all just going to keep giving my guy a fucking brown shirt. Is it too much to ask for to let him start off with a regular... Like, even if you don't want to give him a Nike shirt or NBA shirt or even a 2K shirt, he got to have a dookie brown shirt with those fucking bogus-ass, gray-ass sweatpants and that generic shoe. Can y'all take some time to put some effort into that generic shoe?
Everybody on the part at the in the pro prelude
is
they
Jordan
had retros
up.
And we got on the
all
generics,
the fucking Concords, and you got my dude on it with these fucking generics.
One thing that like a small thing that bothered me about the game is I made a center for one of my builds,
mm-hmm.
and in every cutscene I was still the smallest dude.
Oh, yeah. Yes.
It didn't make
I had a 7 foot power four, and
it
he
made
was
no
5'11" when he cut to the
next to Rachel Demita. We were the same damn height.
And they didn't give my dude the right hair. I gave my dude the cut with the little swirl thing. Yeah, that's like in the, but in, on the...
He had something different.
He had like a just regular hair.
The thing about you saying about the...
I am impressed with that face scanning though.
The face scan is years above what it was last year. The face scan was way better.
Because last year I couldn't do it at all. This year it still got shit on live face scan.
Live face scan looked like me.
But the graphics are shit.
I know, but I'm just saying, the face, I'm like, the rest of the game is garbage.
I have
Live 18, played it for 10 minutes or so. I was like, okay, this is not me. But the face scan aspect, if 2K can buy the technology from Live to get that face scan.
After this, you're going to have to show me your face scan.
Yeah, oh yeah, we can do that. If they can just buy that, it'd be amazing.
Oh, back to the thing you said. I think they're doing that brown shirt thing because it's just iconic. It's been on there for a couple of years now. Remember that guy dressed up for Halloween as a brown shirt?
Yeah.
I think it's just iconic, so I think that's why they have it on.
That's crazy.
That shit actually, like, irritates. Like, for people who know me, they know how detailed I am with 2K. Like, I used to be one of those guys around, like, 2K12, 2K13 that would, like, make shoes that people would wear, and I would put them on all the players and shit. Like, so I'm very detailed. I'm so glad they do that themselves. Like now when LeBron doesn't wear his headband, they took it off. That's the type of shit I expect from 2K. Mm-hmm. So, the brown shirt bothers me a little bit. Or the plain ass, or the generic. You're giving us the same generic-ass shoe. Can you make that generic shoe somewhat stylish or some shit? Like, I don't know. That white ass.
They can LaMelo Ball that shit. Just add some colors to it. Like, it's the same thing. It's the same thing.
Make it something stylish.
No matter how bad we talk about it being bad, everybody in here gonna get the game.
I'm paying $150.
Is there any positives? I mean, to be honest, I haven't really seen it, but I like the defense, and I like how they talked about the percentages of shooting. I felt like that was a big important factor, because the 2K17, you can have a lockdown defender shooting 100% from deep, and I just thought that was so unrealistic. But I like how they got the shooting percentage. Even the sharpshooters, they're not going to be hitting 100% of their shots. He said maybe around 50 to 60%, depending on your, like, what attributes, badges, and maybe you're even, like, just how well you perform that release. But it's not guaranteed that shot's going.
As far as gameplay, I like the fact that I was able to hit more shots contested.
I had way more fun reading about 2K through, like, the developers than actually playing the prelude. Like, seeing what Mike Wang had to say, you only can make 30% of your open threes now? If your threes ain't high enough, bet. But playing the game,
made contested shots. For real? That's something that I didn't like in previous games. Like, it felt like if it was contested, they made him do, like, a little kick his leg weird and shit. My dude was actually hitting contested shots, and which is more realistic. Steph Curry, Kevin Durant, even J.R. Smith, they shoot contested shots. Like, it's very hard to get a very clean, wide open looking NBA. Nine out of ten of the best scores they shooting that shit. That Kevin Durant pull up in the finals to win that game was in LeBron's face.
Yeah, but, like, that's what I'm saying. It's so hard to make that into the game. You know what I'm saying? Like, It's a thing where it's just fake. If he's just hitting shots dead in your face, it's fake. But it's so hard. But it's hard to implement what Joakim Noah was able to do on the floor back in a couple of years ago. It's hard to put how Jay Mills
defends. It's not though. Yeah, you can make a center that can pass.
I mean, no, I'm not saying that. I'm talking about. I mean, they have emotional badges or mental badges, but it's stuff that you can't put in. Like, you can't put Durant's, like, clutch factor dead into a game where he's going to hit a shot over two people. It's just hard to imitate and put that in the game.
It's definitely hard, but I feel like it can be done.
I mean, maybe years away from it. Yeah. But one thing we can say about 2K is that they listen to the community. Like, after 2K16, they came to 2K17, we had the same damn parks. This year, they redid Park completely. You feel me?
It's not even affiliation.
Right, exactly. They make the necessary changes. So each year gets better and better.
I think they did some shit to my gym. I can't remember off the top of my head.
This year?
But when I read it, I was like blown away. I got excited.
That's some stuff that
I think didn't I put that in that group chat and you were like, did you read all of it or something?
Yeah, I saw like, did you read
all
of it?
I don't remember. I mean, I did. I did definitely like some of the stuff they input into it.
Yeah, it was like something where you can like... You can, like, you negotiate better with players and shit like that. I got to reread it, but, yeah.
It's something.
You should read it because you like it.
It's just, we can agree that we're all excited for this drop.
Dude. I mean, listen.
I'm not going to class that week. I mean, at least 2 out of the 3 days.
That prelude could have been worse than that, and I was going to be, like, I was going to be in the line come Thursday. Sure.
It's perfectly for me because y'all know I got this surgery Thursday. The game drops Thursday midnight. So I legitimately have an excuse not to go to class Friday and maybe not to go to class Monday.
Right.
Zero dark 30. No Twitter. Just making videos.
That's why I wish I had Xbox so I could be on that with y'all. But I got the fucking PS4.
Bro, I'm buying it for. I got it for both. I pre-ordered for both.
Oh, okay, cool.
Yeah. Because most YouTubers are on PS4 and this year I plan on like doing shit with other people. So.
Okay.
YouTube. Yo, Mike started his channel the other day.
MJ is back. Go ahead and subscribe to me.
Please go watch that Lonzo Ball's better than Steph Curry video. Hey, great video.
Hey, you talking about you hate talking to Kobe fans? You got to hate talking to a Lakers fan as well.
Yeah, for sure. Lakers fans, Celtics
Speaking
fans.
Of Lakers, LaMelo Ball.
Oh, yeah. Let's get into that.
That's light years ahead. You know what I'm thinking about? I'm thinking about what we going to do to at least get back into the playoffs. What is he, a sophomore or junior?
Sophomore.
He's a junior.
I'm not worried about it. He's still
he's a junior, right?
Well, he's no, still, he's still got 2 years to go.
Before we're talking about the Lambo and the new shoes. That's what we want.
Oh, the Lambo and the new shoes? I mean, I seen Kevin Durant talk about this. Before you say something, I seen Kevin Durant talk about this. I mean, okay, it might hype his head up, but... The thing is, if you want to talk about LaMelo's ball, I think that anything that affected, I don't think it's going to affect his play on the court.
I don't
Not at all.
Mm-mm, no.
The only thing that's going to affect him is, I think, to some point, LaVar Ball is going to affect how he plays on the court. And that's because I think...
In what way?
In what way? It's just because...
Like, affect him in, like, in what way?
Let me get to this. Look, if you watch some, if you watch, as much as people, you know, people are hyped to see LaMelo Ball, it's a lot of people that just don't like him. And if you think about it,
for they non-basketball look, reasons,
just not, who no. he is, who he
it's
is.
It's people that just, I mean, if you look at some of the videos of him playing basketball, mm-hmm. especially with that AAU team, he's just jacking up shots.
Yeah, people.
And then people just blame, they put that because his dad is the coach.
Those people are casual watchers. In order to have an opinion like that, you have to be a vivid watcher like myself.
You vivid watch?
I damn near, for some reason, you know, I like LaMelo Ball. I mean, I'm not too big. I don't like the hype kids, but I watch damn near all of the highlight thing, Baller Vision videos and shit. And LaVar Ball is trying to, it does not encourage a lot of that shit that he does.
Of course not.
It's even a video, and it's a couple videos of LaVar Ball talking to him and telling him, like, if you don't change your shit, you won't be like Zoe. Yep, you will yep, not yep, be
yep.
like that.
Yep.
And also, that big baller team that he put together is to make LaMelo better. Because LaMelo can go play for like the Compton Magic and be on a stacked ass team and go play with this. But they purposely put him on a team that's not that good to carry a team and learn how to be a leader. That's LaVar's whole plan.
LaVar is an amazing dad. I don't get the people that don't that agree.
I think it's just because the ridiculous stuff he says.
Yeah, but
yeah.
That's
that
I think
blows
he's a
my
dad.
Mind. The fact that the man says I can be Michael Jordan and y'all put him on ESPN.
Oh yeah,
he's crazy. It's
all
not his fault. It's their fault.
Yeah,
the people who don't like him for that type of shit. It's their fault that they don't like him.
They're entertaining the little stuff
exactly.
that he's saying.
If a dude walks into a barbershop, or if a guy for some reason says, if your landlord walked in here right now, because for whatever reason, we just start having a conversation, and he tells us, man, I could beat LeBron James. We're not even going to pay him no matter. We're going to laugh and just start back doing what we was doing. ESPN, LaVar Ball does it, and ESPN invites him on every show that they have. The man is on First Take.
First Take.
ESPN. I mean, like... So
he's a genius. He's a marketing genius.
He's literally doing what the media wants, and he's getting paid for.
Yeah,
he knows what they want, so he gives them what they want, so they pay him for it.
He got to the point.
You get mad at him for that?
Where they overcharging on shirts, shoes? He made enough money through everything he's doing to buy his son a damn Lambo. His 16-year-old son the damn Lambo. He's doing it right, especially since there's. I mean, there are so many NBA players that never had a dad in their life. And this dude is doing what he can to get his boys to the league. He's trying hard on all of them. I know people say that LiAngelo doesn't get much love, but he gets the love, you know?
He definitely does.
And he's a great dad. I respect LaVar. I'm never buying a BBB shirt, no shoes, but I respect his hustle.
I might buy the LaMelo Ball ones.
Hey, to be honest, you see all these social media stuff where people say, I have this mindset. You got to have that mindset of LaVar Ball because... He's one of the people that doesn't care about what anybody says to him. He's gonna get his mind across, and he don't care what you say.
You know who was the first LaVar Ball? Dog the Bounty Hunter.
Why you say that?
Because he put the whole family on.
Oh, right.
He had his wife was like his secretary. His sons used to work with him. They was on TV. Like he changed the game. But LaMelo Ball won't play a second in college basketball.
He's going overseas. He's going to have to go overseas.
And they're
going to
take the brand over there.
Because of the shoes. He has his own signature shoe. The NCAA is trash for stuff like that.
Wait, wait, wait. So the NCAA doesn't allow you to come to
college? You can't make money.
You can't make any money.
But this is what can happen, though. He can't get a scholarship. If he wanted to take a loan out or take the money he makes from the shoe and be a walk-on, he can do that. They can do that.
Oh, for real?
So do y'all know Greg Anthony? Former NBA player, great.
Yeah, he balled his head.
Yeah. he had some situation where he was making money, and he was on the Running Rebels team, UNLV.
Right, right, okay. With Larry Johnson.
He walked on because he didn't, you know, the NCAA didn't want him to make the money he was making, but he didn't want to turn down that money because I guess he was making so much good money. I don't know what he was doing, but he walked on and just paid
tuition and shit.
Yeah, and just walked on like that. But I think for the Big Baller brand, it's a good look for them to go overseas and expand their brand there. Plus, him going overseas just makes too much sense. And I feel like his game will be picked apart in college. Going overseas is a lose-lose situation anyway. If he dominates overseas, they're going to say the competition. And if he doesn't play good, they're going to say the competition. Right. So I feel like just go there, take the brand over there. LaMelo Ball is actually younger than people think. He's a 16-year-old junior. Mm. He skipped a grade to play with LiAngelo and Lonzo Ball.
They do that?
Hmm?
They do that? For basketball reasons, you can skip a grade?
You can.
He probably didn't have a problem. All right, but yeah, like I'm a big Lonzo Ball fan. I support LaVar Ball, so I know shit like that. But yeah, he skipped a grade so that they could purposely put him, Lonzo, and LiAngelo on that team for that 1 year.
The NCAA's is too petty. Do y'all know the story about the kicker? So is a kicker a D1 kicker? No. It was a D1 kicker. I don't remember what school he went to, but he had a YouTube channel. You know, YouTubers, we make money. His YouTube channel had like 100,000 subscribers, which is big, but he wasn't up there making, you know, 10K a month. Right. He wasn't making crazy amount of money. NCAA said, either you stop playing football or you shut down your YouTube channel. Or not shut down your YouTube channel, but you demonetize your YouTube channel. He said, fuck football. And he's doing YouTube full time.
As he should.
The NCAA is just petty, and athletes aren't allowed to be
they make all anything. This fucking money.
So they want them to, like, do all that work for free. They don't want them to have no type of income.
What they say, the income is your scholarship. You're getting a free education, so you should be fine.
I got a Duke jersey at my house. Zero. You know who was that for?
No.
Austin Rivers.
Does it have a name on the back?
No, but I bought it because it was Austin Rivers.
It's stupid.
You know how many people buying jerseys because of a certain player?
And I think that's just going into the debate, is if they starting to let this go, people are going to be like, why? I think it's just going to go into the debate of why aren't college players being paid. And it's so much things that you could talk about that. It's just a big discussion. It's so many instances where we've seen this. And it all depends. It's just making the NCAA look money hungry now at this point.
Which they are.
That's what this whole situation is also shedding light on, too. So if LaVar Ball can pull this off in any way, encourage them to change what they're doing or to shed more light on it, it only solidifies his legendary
status.
Doesn't
March Madness make more money than the NBA playoffs?
I wouldn't be surprised. That weaker. Wait, what is it? It's like a month, actually.
Yeah, it's a whole month of March.
It's ridiculous. It's ridiculous. They Brackets. Sell ads for like close to what they sell for the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
It's ridiculous. And college athletes out there playing their heart out. The Kevin Wears are destroying legs. And they're not even really covered.
Wow, because of also that. Being students.
Right, exactly. Mm-hmm. Being a college athlete is probably insane. We don't know that, though, because we did our high school thing, but that was it.
I know we both watch a lot of South Park. Did you see that where Carmen, he went over there to the NCAA?
The crack baby.
Yeah, I definitely remember that.
Yeah. He said, what do we call our slaves? I mean, student athletes.
Yeah,
that was a great episode.
Yeah, I love South Park.
It ain't nothing better. All right, y'all ready? Y'all ready to call it, man? I think it's been a very successful episode. We hit on pretty much everything we wanted to talk about. Thank y'all so much for listening or watching the Through the Wire podcast. Right here, we got Derek, Mike, Pierre, all their links in the description.
YouTube coming soon.
Pierre's YouTube is coming soon. Mike just started. He's at like 300 subscribers, bro.
Hey, comment what y'all want to see, man. I got anything for y'all.
Oh, yeah, please. Like, oh, yeah, and for the first episode, I know, I called him Jason Collins.
Yeah, we made a couple mistakes. We humans.
I understand. When you see the first 100 comments saying it's not Jason, I just know that I get it.
Hey, bro, I get that on every video. You make one mistake, every comment is about it.
But my main thing about that was to say just comment some stuff y'all wanted to talk about, because I seen some of y'all suggestions on Twitter and I liked them.
Yeah, so. I think we're gonna do like an entire episode just answering from the fans, because it's off season. Things are still going on, but it's died down. Once the season starts, we have endless things to talk about. But we'll start taking suggestions from fans and start. We still haven't hit on anything music related on the pod yet. Yeah. Basketball has just been too fun lately.
Yeah.
But okay. Thank y'all. Peace.
Knicks tape.
Peace out.
Peace out, man.